Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, here with my boy Ray G. He's back in the building. Like Ray G said before we started airing, y'all, you and Will are like what, Martin and Gina? Will T's out of the building. Not in the building, he's out for the show.
He's not here. Whenever I'm here, he's missing. Whenever he's here, I'm missing.
Explain the Martin and Gina reference for folks who never watched Martin.
And Martin and Gina's last season together, they were never in the same scene, if nobody recognized that.
Yeah, I know.
Most
that.
Black people probably know that.
Most black people do that. There was its own little reasons for that.
There was some beef behind the scenes.
Well, it's good to have you back, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I know. You were referencing my hair got long. So
it has. Hey,
it's
you know,
it's been a while since you've seen me.
It has. And you haven't seen me in a while. I have like one strand of gray hair on my arm. I don't know what that means in my life.
I got gray chest hair. I don't know what it means, but you see my head up top is still black. So
yeah, hey,
it is what it is.
You have hair. I don't.
That's because you choose not to have hair.
Well, when I did have hair, it was like LeBron James receding the hairline.
Tiger Woods, he's still rocking his. I watched the interview with him last night. Yeah, he just came out with a book, by the way.
He needs to let it go. Like, when your hairline is going that way, it ain't going forward, it's going backwards, it ain't good. It's just like in life, man. You can't go backwards. You can only go forward.
Trying to go forward.
Exactly.
Yeah, shout out to Blasting News, by the way. You know, doing my thing now with them.
Yeah, tell the folks, man. You
just
you
published
right
my
now,
first
man.
Article last week.
Congratulations.
Check it out on my Facebook page or Twitter. Yeah, Twitter page.
Your Twitter page. Yeah, you don't have it on your Instagram page, do you?
No. I haven't logged on Instagram in a while.
That's real talk, bro.
If you're on Podbean, you can check my Twitter page on there.
Yeah, definitely.
At @UrbanSports_Ray.
Yeah, exactly. Because what do you always say, right, man?
Real people do real things.
Of course, man. Anyway, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. March Madness. We're going to discuss March Madness and our brackets. At 8:20, we'll discuss whether the Washington Wizards were a better team before the acquisitions of Bogdanovich and Jennings and Brandon Jennings. At 8:30, we'll talk Washington Redskins offseason and how much leverage Kirk Cousins has. At 8:40, we'll examine last night's OKC Thunder Golden State Warriors rematch and the scrum between Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry. And finally, Triple G beating Daniel Jacobs in a close fight, retaining his middleweight championship belts. We will have boxing expert Wood, host of the podcast show Pay Me No Mind, to discuss the fight. But first, we're going to break down our March Madness brackets. Ray, you weren't on for the last show, but we basically took turns in breaking, like, in picking each game in the brackets. So who we have remaining in our brackets was all busted now, to be honest with you. We had Villanova and Duke in this round.
I had that too. I had Gonzaga and Arizona. I got that right.
All right.
I had Purdue versus Louisville, which was wrong.
Purdue versus Louisville?
Yeah, because Louisville was eliminated, so I didn't get that game.
You didn't? Okay. But actually, we had Villanova.
I'm in Elite Eight.
Yeah, me too. I'm about to say the same thing. That's where I was at. We actually had Villanova in the Sweet 16. We had Nova versus Virginia.
Okay, no, I had Nova versus Florida.
Okay.
And I had Duke versus SMU. SMU, I thought they could get out the first round. They could do some damage, but obviously they lost that close one.
All right. I actually, my personal bracket.
SMU lost by 1 point.
So we have Baylor versus Duke in this one, in the Sweet 16.
Oh, you had Baylor versus Duke, so you picked Baylor.
Well, and you know, it's a team, but this is a team bracket. Will T and I did this together. We was going to make it all three of us, but you didn't make the show.
How far are we going?
Do
you have your final four teams still?
Do I have my final four teams? Within this bracket?
Whichever one.
I'm going for this one. No, because I do. My personal bracket, I prefer than this one. But I'm going to read off this one in terms of interest of fairness.
Y'all ruined the credibility of the show. That's why I needed to be here. Like, who's your champion for this?
It was Duke. Because Will had the last pick. I picked Kentucky.
I want to pick Kentucky. The championship.
Who?
Purdue?
You don't have any money. You're not in any money pools, are you? No. Obviously not.
I don't need to be. If I was, I still would pick Purdue.
Purdue?
Yeah, because this is the game. If they beat Kansas, then you can win the championship.
That's true, but the game is in like Kansas City.
Don't matter.
I ain't kidding. You think so? Really? You think so? I'm not gonna knock it.
Real people do real things. Like
I said, real talk. That's real talk.
Duke, you see who Will picked? I'm so glad they lost. I didn't even bother him yet. By the way, about it, even though he heckled me like a minute after the Super Bowl finished. But
well, that's another discussion. That's But this is what we have in our Sweet 16, and you can, Ray, you can judge it. Like, okay. I said, Villanova, UVA, which obviously both teams aren't in it. Baylor, Duke.
UVA, what are y'all dudes thinking?
Look, I picked out the UVA thing was me. I ain't gonna lie. Gonzaga versus Bucknell. Bucknell was me too. I just thought real dudes do real things, man. That's all I'm saying.
You gotta do smart things. All right, I'm gonna let you go through yours. Right, I'll go through mine.
All right, FSU.
Mine's way better than yours.
FSU Arizona.
This is why I'm needed. Sorry, Will, for not showing.
FSU Arizona. All right, and that was in the West. Excuse me. Kansas. Kansas Purdue. We had that.
Okay, good.
Oregon, Louisville.
All right, I had the same.
UNC Butler.
Got that right.
All right, UCLA, Kentucky.
That was the easiest.
That was the easiest one. Everybody had that. Okay, so you go with your Sweet 16.
My original Sweet 16 was Villanova, Florida.
Oh, you still have Florida. That's cool.
I had SMU, Duke.
You had neither. Okay.
I had Gonzaga, West Virginia, which.
You had both. That's good.
I had FSU and Arizona.
Same thing.
Kansas and Purdue.
Same thing.
Oregon and Louisville.
Same thing.
UNC, Butler, UCLA, Kentucky.
We are very similar. You're like, we're not that much off. You made it sound
as if
that
you go further. No, Sweet 16. Yeah, yeah, very similar.
Yeah, okay. So who would you. All right. So let's go into the real thing.
Wisconsin was capable, but. They're too inconsistent for me.
They are very inconsistent. I just thought that, you know, when they lost, when their head coach wasn't, you know, when he left, he retired. I just thought that they would struggle a little bit more. But, you know, they're basically the same Wisconsin team in terms of their grit. They play a lot of defense. They're not a whole lot of change,
but offensively, you have to be efficient in the tournament because teams typically they step their game up. You see an increase in 3-point percentage in the tournament. That's something that's not their strength. That's my thing. And that's not the strength of Purdue either, by the way, who I picked. But when you got exceptional big men play.
Yeah. And you're speaking of big men for Wisconsin, they got Nigel Hayes. And Nigel Hayes against Villanova made that big shot.
He played big and made that big shot for them to win the game. He's a veteran. I'm telling you, this is like the tournament where the veterans get to stand out. I mean, Alonzo Ball has looked great, by the way.
Oh, my God. He's unbelievable.
He's a young guy. But Frank Mason is somebody who's standing out for me for Kansas.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's standing out as a leader.
He's so athletic.
Oh, my. The game against the game against Michigan State. Oh, my God.
Kentucky's young boys look good, too.
Oh, that was clutch. That was clutch. I guess a good Wichita State game. A good team. No,
and Monk, he had a big three.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, he was outshined by the point guard.
By Fox?
Fox.
Fox is a beast. But see, Fox took over the game in a way that, you know, he set the tone. But I think Monk was the clutch one. Like, when they needed that big bucket.
Did you see the dribble drive when he dunked, when he finished?
Oh, Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was vicious. But I'm saying, you see the pull-up three that Monk took? That was ice water. That's ice water veins, bro. And then Bam Bam, and they all made big plays.
Bam Ball, too.
And then also, it wasn't just offensively, defensively, they made big plays. Monk had the block shot. Bam had the game-winning block shot. So, to me, like, this team, like, the Kentucky Wildcats are primed to do some damage. And I think they're tested by playing Wichita State. I think Wichita State is one of the better teams in the tournament.
They got misseeded, as everybody already knows. But two quick questions. One is, what are your overall thoughts of the tournament thus far? Because it's been a lot of negative reviews.
I know,
since there wasn't a Guinea game winners on the first day or the second day. And then a lot of the higher seeds are advancing. There hasn't been as many upsets as, you know, was hoped.
To me, I'm enjoying the tournament. I don't see an issue with the tournament. Villanova didn't make it to the – Villanova
got eliminated. Great games.
Yeah, Villanova got eliminated. Michigan looks really good. I think you have some really good quality play in the tournament. Duke got ousted by a good South Carolina team that matched up with them.
They just outplayed Duke. I mean, they played much harder. That second half, they seemed as though they were never going to run out of energy. I feel like they could have played in the two overtimes, and they still would have – Frank Martin. I was sitting there feeling vindicated as I watched Frank Martin's South Carolina game, because I've been a proponent of Frank Martin for so long.
Okay.
And it brought me back to an argument I had on the show with one of you guys. Where I'm like, Frank Martin, you know, is somebody the Wizards could consider. He's a good coach. Look at what he did at Kansas State. Where's Kansas State now? And the thing was, somebody's argument was, well, Kansas State, that was
you keep saying somebody. Who
that was
somebody?
Bob Huggins. Whoever it was,
that,
one of you
that
guys.
That sounds like me.
That was Bob. That was a Bob Huggins recruit. That's why Kansas State was good.
Where's Bob Huggins recruit, dog?
Man, where's Kansas State now?
Where's Bob Huggins doing?
West Virginia.
Exactly.
Don't matter.
Balling.
But still
the man.
The point is, Cincinnati's in the tournament, right? Without Bob Huggins.
Yeah.
But where is Kansas State? And when Frank Martin replaced Bob Huggins, they kept going to the tournament.
Well, Kansas State lost.
Now you got South Carolina. South Carolina is in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that?
He's done a great job.
I'm not going to take that away from him. He's an excellent coach.
He's done a great job.
And I've been on the bandwagon for years, man. So, you know,
you feel really good about yourself?
I do.
Obviously.
When it comes to college basketball, you know, I follow high school basketball so closely. I feel like I have an edge when it comes to picking games, when it comes to just overall analyzing college
Rick
basketball.
Rick Martell, arrogance, man.
What?
Rick Martell,
it's called
arrogance.
Confidence, sir.
It's called arrogance. Can I spray you with it,
so,
bro?
By the way, just to give back, the tournament has been excellent this far. Yeah. I think it's been better than NBA, more entertaining than NBA.
Easily.
Come right on, now.
Man, easily.
So it's something that we needed, which I said in my article, by the way. and then moving forward, I feel like right now there's still no clear front runner.
In the tournament?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree.
It's anybody's.
But it's always been like, if you follow college basketball, anybody's watched college basketball throughout this season, you've seen the parity. The parity is real. Other than a couple of teams that have dominated because they got top tier talent, like even Kentucky,
Kansas
dominated to a certain extent. But Kentucky, which you would think would dominate, hasn't really had a dominating season with all the talent they've had. And Carolina has had games that they're struggling and as talented as they are. So to me, throughout this whole season, this college basketball season, you've seen lower, like mid-majors, getting the opportunity and competing with some of these big schools. So I wasn't surprised that you know what, if a one played an 8 seed, that they would struggle big time. Wisconsin and Villanova. We see that with the mid majors, I'm trying to think of another team that lost. The one seed. It's losing my mind right now. Sorry, excuse me. With Carolina struggling against Arkansas. There you go. Arkansas.
Well, they were up 17. Arkansas again. It's just that's the beauty of the tournament.
Yeah.
Arkansas just. It seemed like they stepped their game up, knowing this is it. If we lose, we're out.
Yeah,
that's enough. If you don't see teams show that fight, then like Maryland didn't show fight.
Yeah,
then they're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of it. I love March Madness.
Yeah, what was surprising to you in this tournament?
Obviously, Villanova losing was a shock. I'm also a bit surprised that USC.
Made it as far
as they did.
I wasn't surprised.
USC, did you watch USC? You probably didn't watch USC during the season because they come on so late at night.
I'm going to tell you when I did my brackets, it was right after their
playing game.
Right after
everybody picked them based on their play-on
game. And I will tell you, it's the way they – I didn't know that like they were that gifted within their starting five. And even their bench – like I was like, they got nothing but athletes. You had Bo Wright, who's Jay was for a 6'9", 6'10" dude was wet. I was to me watching that game, watching that team. I was like, yeah, that team giving anybody problems. I thought when they played Baylor though, mentally, I was like, they can compete with Baylor, but Baylor has athletes too within that height that can switch on pick and roll. So I was thinking to myself like, yeah, that's gonna be more of a tougher challenge than anybody else they could play in the bracket. Unfortunately, they played a good Baylor team.
They were a surprise to me, and they were very close to pulling out that Baylor game.
And
then Rhode Island. I haven't seen Rhode Island all season, and they came to play and should have advanced. I feel like they got conservative down the stretch.
They did.
For whatever reason, you made it to the next round of 32. Why get conservative at that point? But those two teams stood out for me as teams that advanced that – weren't on my radar, put it that way, as a college basketball fan, as a huge college basketball fan. I've seen SC play, though. Again, they come on late at night, typically on ESPNU, where most people are in bed, and they play teams that nobody wants to watch, like the Washingtons of the world, Washington State, Pac-12. Pac-12 wasn't very good this year. And I guess the last thing is you asked for surprises, right?
Yeah.
Or what stood out?
Surprise.
Okay. So those are my two primary surprises, along with the rest of the world that Villanova got eliminated. I didn't think Villanova was going to repeat, though.
I didn't think it would repeat, but I didn't think they were going to be eliminated by Wisconsin.
Not at all.
I thought they were going to lose it. It would probably be the Duke. That was my thing.
And Duke is a lot of people's surprise, but Duke, that's Duke. Whenever a lot of people pick Duke, they lose, it seems
like.
You
sound like a Tar Heel fan. That's Duke.
It is. Duke does this, though. In recent memory, I mean, we were reviewing their most recent early exits, and they lost to Mercer a couple years ago.
Yeah.
This is just what happened.
Lehigh with McCullough. Lehigh, yeah.
This is VCU going back
Eric Maynard.
Many years.
Yeah, Eric Maynard. You're right.
Going back many years. So this is kind of what Duke does at times. And the next year, I wouldn't be shocked if Duke is in the Elite Eight. With Harry Giles healthy.
Harry Giles will transfer. Should transfer.
I guess that's another discussion.
Yeah, it is.
I like Harry Giles, though.
I do. No, I do.
He's like Kevin Garnett.
Look, I mean that with no disrespect. Like, he should transfer and go somewhere else.
There's
where
some
his talent
people
to be
who are talented enough to where they can work through, like Jabari Parker worked through the Coach K system. Jabari Parker still did his thing, even though it wasn't a good fit. Austin Rivers struggled there. If Austin Rivers got hurt, he'd have been just like Harry Giles.
Tatum was good. Tatum's a beast.
He's gone.
But he's a beast.
Been gone.
He should. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like Giles.
You think he went to the wrong school?
Yeah, went to the wrong school. I'm not to be mean. He went to the wrong school. He's just too. I mean, anytime you hear, like his scouting report was he could be the next Chris Webber. Because Webber's a bad dude in college.
If you saw him playing, it's just for a young kid, he's had so many injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, significant injuries. So he's got a lot to battle through. If I'm him, I would come back.
I would definitely come back if I was him.
But I mean, he's been very candid. He said right now he's balancing, do I do it for the money? What do I do it for? Because he's still a first round pick.
Yeah.
If you can pick Nerlens Noel with a top three pick.
Well, you know what? That's
a good
point.
If you can take Joel Embiid, even knowing his injury history, or then why not, you know, select him based on potential?
That's good. That's true.
But anyway, this is March Madness. We can't
right,
even stay on
you're
top.
You're right, man. You're right, though. But you're right, though.
Loving March
so
Madness.
Back to March Madness. Give me a prediction. Give me your Final Four.
My Final Four is already here. Arizona.
You still got it intact?
Yeah. No. I lost Duke.
So I'm talking about like within the teams that's still remaining.
Oh, Arizona.
Yeah. Okay.
I got Arizona.
Yeah.
Kentucky.
You got Kentucky, Arizona.
And Purdue.
No, give me your prediction. That's what I'm talking about. Your final, like your predictions. Who's gonna make it to the Final Four?
That's what I said. Purdue,
Kentucky,
and Arizona.
Those are only three teams. Purdue.
Since Duke isn't there
exactly.
Anymore. Oh, my bad. I'm just. Again, I'm trying to say I'm right.
I know. I know you are.
Let me see. Ignorance.
It's arrogance. Told you, like Rick Martel, bro.
I'm gonna go with Wisconsin because. They've been there before, very mm-hmm. recent. And Nigel Hayes was saying that
That's a good one.
He has a chip on his shoulder and wants to show the world they can do it without Frank Kaminsky.
He said that? Frank?
Yep.
That's good.
He said that was the motivation coming into the tournament.
Dang.
That they can get back because they felt like they were so close to winning that championship.
So I have mentally it's gonna be Kansas, Arizona. Kansas out of the Midwest. In the East, that one kind of jacked me all up. In the East, I'm going to go with Baylor in the East.
Okay.
I'm going to go with in the West, that's Gonzaga's bracket, right? The West is Gonzaga. So, and they got Arizona in that bracket.
That's why you just
I got Arizona,
right? Yeah.
I got Arizona. So, I got in the last one, I got Kentucky. Kentucky's my Final Four is Kentucky, Arizona, Baylor, Kentucky, Arizona, Baylor, and Kansas.
Not bad at all.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Still, my bracket's all jacked up, though.
If Purdue wins, y'all know y'all going to hear from me. Trust me.
If they win,
everybody looked at me sideways when I said I picked Purdue to win it. Nobody else on ESPN that I looked at, because that's where my bracket is pick Purdue. Nobody.
That's all good, though. Anyway, last night the Washington Wizards lost to the Boston Celtics. Were they a better team before the acquisitions? We're going to talk about that after the break. It's the Urban Sports thing for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Happy holidays from the Washington Bullets.
Go Bullets! Go Bullets! Bounce, bounce, shake, shake, shoot, shoot, break, break.
My man, Chris Webber.
You the man, you the man.
Captain Chaney.
You the man, you the man.
that good Washington Bullets song back in the day when Chris Webb used to play for me. Anyway, you listen to Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, my boy Ray Jeezy, Will T is out. You can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene, no S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. I mentioned before the break, the Washington Wizards lost to the Boston Celtics last night. Since the Washington Wizards traded for Bojan Bogdanovic, they have went 8-7. Was this team better before picking up Bogdanovic and Brandon Jennings?
I don't think they needed Jennings, to be honest. We like Trey Burke. Yeah. I like Trey Burke's talent. I want to say this. I just didn't think he was ready for the NBA at the time, because I know you might argue with me.
But I get you, just in case.
But I do like Trey Burke. He has had how many DMPs? I don't know. I wish I knew that stat. Sorry, Chuck. since Brandon Jennings. Sorry, Chuck. Yeah, because I don't know my stats. But he's had how many DMPs? He's had several. He didn't play at all last night. Uh-huh. Brandon Jennings, 3 of 7, 10 points last night. But Brandon Jennings doesn't make you a better team.
No.
Now, Bogdanovic, he played a decent game last night. He actually had one of the better games out of anybody on the team.
Yeah.
He shot 5 for 12 from the field and had 14 points, which was big coming off the bench, except he went 0 for 5 from 3. And the Wizards as a whole perimeter shot 8 from 35 for 3, which was terrible. So he had a good impact just on last night. Overall, I think he's a good pickup because of his size and his versatility. Brandon Jennings, I don't like it. I think the Wizards coming out of the All-Star break, teams are gunning for them. They still had a big win against Golden State. They're already guaranteed over a 500 season. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't have a problem with acquisitions. Brandon Jennings, I'm not mad at it, but I don't think you needed it.
I don't think that the talent of Bogdanovic or Brandon Jennings have been an issue with the team. I think the talent is there. I think it helps. They are deeper. I'm not taking that away from any from this team. But at the same time, I think the change of style has been different, and they're working so hard to get people incorporated into the offense and get them acclimated to what's going on, mm-hmm. that they're not doing what they did in the off. I mean, and before these individuals came, when they were playing at such a high level. Now, granted, this team has never been good throughout this season, been good defensively. I think we all have seen that. But at the same time, offensively, with the chemistry they have had together, they were a strong team before the trade. I mean, like, for instance, I wasn't a big fan of Jason Smith, but I saw the value and impact he had for this team during that stretch run. When they were playing sloppy basketball, he wasn't effective. But when they started playing at a high level, he brought a lot of energy and spunk to that second unit. You're talking about Burke, Trey Burke. At times he was spotty. He had good games here and there, but he wasn't as consistent. So I get it why you would want to trade for Brandon Jennings. My thing is that when you see a Bogdanovic, and it's not a knock on him, because I think that he is a scorer and he's done the job for what they need. But certain people aren't playing. Certain people aren't being as aggressive or not getting the shots they were getting prior to him coming onto the team.
What do you like about Brandon Jennings that you think makes this team
better
or deeper? Yes.
I like that he has no fear. That's the most important thing. We play ball. We hoop.
You go into Ray theory. You like his energy.
Yeah, no real talk. No real talk. Cause I like Trey Burke. You know, I'm a fan of Trey Burke's game. I like this game coming out of Michigan. But one thing I've noticed by watching him with the Washington Wizards is that he seems to lost confidence. He tends to not want to take certain shots. The same shots he would take off the high screen and roll, he hesitates. The Trey Burke that I know never hesitated from watching in Michigan and watching even with the Utah Jazz. So when you look at someone like Brandon Jennings, regardless of a good shot or bad shot, he still has that thought process that he's one of the better players on the court. I think Trey Burke has forgotten that he was a talented point guard at one point in time. Excuse me.
Trey Burke averaging 4 points a game this season.
Yeah, I'm just
Brandon Jennings averaging a whopping 8.
Off the bench, that's not bad though. As a bench player, it's not bad.
And here is what makes the biggest difference, you know, for I think a general manager. Mm-hmm. Trey Burke, 1 assist per game. Brandon Jennings, 4 assists per game coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. Almost 5, 4.9.
Yeah.
He's a dual threat. Versus Trey Burke is there to bring his perimeter shooting. And if he's not making shots, like you said, if he's not confident, then what is he out there for?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
this might be the end of Trey Burke.
I kind of agree. NBA, to be honest with you, to be real with you, I agree. It may be. You're looking at what he was doing. His rookie had a decent rookie season. Then all of a sudden, little by little, with the Jazz,
he lost his confidence. Yeah. You're right, and that's the big difference. Even when Brandon Jennings isn't playing well, Brandon Jennings still has the swagger that I'm Brandon Jennings, and I can outplay anybody. It's amazing to see the difference with these two guys in the way they approach the game. Even though Brandon Jennings sometimes that cockiness is a detriment.
It's bad because he takes bad shots at times. And that's I mean
he's not even he you know he's a lefty, so who can we compare him to in recent memory? Greg Anthony. Greg Anthony was a better shooter.
It's crazy. I thought to me Brandon Jennings used to be a good shooter.
He's a streaky shooter.
A streaky shooter. That's a good point.
You know
what
I mean? He's not consistent ever. Versus you got like a Mike Conley who's a lefty. Maybe you can compare him to who Mike Conley.
Mike Conley's
very
more
efficient.
He's efficient, though. He's efficient.
Mike Conley.
And he plays defense, too.
He proved himself to you.
Yeah, he did.
And you know what else? And this is big, and I think you can relate to this personally, is Mike Conley has worked on his body since he's been in the league.
And his game.
You can see that with LeBron James. The guys who excel, if you got to be super talented to continue to keep a bad body like a Melo or a Chris Paul. To not be in the best shape.
You're right.
Got to be super talented. Big dog, Glenn Robinson, Antoine Walker. These guys could not be in the best physical shape, but they could still hoop.
Mm-hmm.
But you see Boris Diaw and Trey Burke, guys that don't look like physically they take care of themselves like they should, their game diminishes with their body. I mean, Trey Burke, we've seen him up close and personal. He's as thin as a rail.
He's thin.
I don't mean that in a bad way. You can excel in the NBA and be skinny. Yeah. I mean, it happens.
Allen Iverson.
But even Allen Iverson will admit now, if he took it more serious and he actually got in the weight room like Larry Brown wanted him to, he probably could have been an even better basketball player, which is scary to even think about. So I think that comes into play for Trey Burke as well, where he's not overall not working hard enough. Now, he could probably say, look, you don't know what I do behind the scenes, and I don't. But this is based on my assessment. We've seen at Michigan, he looked athletic, even though he was small.
No, he looked athletic. I didn't say he was explosive, but he looked athletic enough.
Right. And right now, he just doesn't look like the same guy. He doesn't. Now, again, the NBA is a different game.
Oh, yeah, it's a different monster.
Clearly. So that's something that just, you know, maybe I need to do a bit more research on. I'm judging based off his physical appearance. And he looks even like he has no muscle tone right now.
No, you listen to Urban Sports, see my boy Ray Jeezy, myself, Wally. He doesn't look confident. That's my thing.
Well, that's the main thing.
He just doesn't look confident. And, you know, hopefully, you know, down the road, he can get it back and if he gets the opportunity to play. But right now, it's Brandon Jennings' job. Again, if you want to call in, the number's 240-478-3140. The question is, were the Washington Wizards a better team before the acquisitions of a Bogdanovich or Brandon Jennings?
I will say this. Without the acquisition, the Celtics were hungry last night.
Oh, they were hungry,
and they won that game. Even their interviews leading up to the Washington game was all about the Wizards weeks ago.
Yeah.
When the Wizards passed them briefly in the standings for second place, they said, man, we were upset to see that Washington passes. And then Jay Crowder said prior to the game that they lost to the Sixers because they were so looking forward to the Washington game.
Really?
Because they got embarrassed. The guys saying, we're going to wear all black, we're going to come out and bury you, and they did it. I think the payback was cool last night, but I still don't think it was as significant as when Washington backed up their play.
No, I don't think
with
so.
A blowout.
I don't think
so. And then you had John Wall, who had a bad game. Bradley Beal had a bad shooting game. John Wall was 4 for 10, 3 for 10 from the field. Bradley Beal, 6 of 15. You can't win when your top players aren't scoring.
And I still think the Wizards are in good shape regardless of the fact. As long as they get that 2-3 seed, they get that, you know, if Boston has a 2 seed, they get a 3 seed. Either way, they're lined up to play Boston. So as long as they can stay away from the 4 seed, they're fine.
Why is that?
Because that's Cleveland.
Well,
that's Cleveland.
To be the man, woo, you got to beat the man.
All right, man. That's that.
And as a stat boy correction,
what?
I think I got John Wall's shooting percentage wrong. I'm gonna look it up very quick. Yeah, 4 for 10.
You're right, man. What you talking about? Stop doubting yourself.
He was 0 for 3 from 3.
Man, real brothers do real things, man. Keep saying it, bro.
Stat boy.
Hey, Redskins talk up next. Ray, did you like the signing of Terrell Pryor as a wide receiver for the Washington Redskins?
No, I like his girlfriend.
We'll talk about it after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Terrell Pryor.
For ages. You dig. Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Solon Sports. Weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
Thank you. your girl post a BM. So I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashad Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
So my man Ray is saying that Terrell Pryor's girl is off the charts. Is she like that for real?
I'm trying to tell you, man.
He's trying to find a picture right now. But anyway, you listen to Urban Sports Scene. My boy Ray Jeezy, myself Wally.
And she's a baller.
She's a baller. You know I love ballers, man.
Just baller chicks. I'm trying to tell you.
You know I love them. You know I love
her name. Her name is Shania Ray.
Shania Ray.
Yeah, man.
You know I love chicks who can hoop.
And she, but like she's young. No, that's what I'm saying. See, that's the thing.
You're right.
If West Virginia was winning, then this chick probably would. She would probably be in the spotlight just as similar as Skylar Diggins was.
Oh, okay. You talk about the school. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, because she can actually hoop, but she's not. She's not as good as Skylar Diggins. And she's probably not going to go pro or nothing like that. So
you never know, man.
It's the end of the road for her.
She's bad, though. She's cute. She is a cutie. God bless an athletic chick who can play basketball. I love it. It's awesome. It's a beautiful thing, man. Loving basketball. So now, Lathan. I still love you, Sanaa Lathan. Hey, big ups to Lex Diamond, man, because he got to meet Sanaa Lathan in person, who I am very jealous of.
We've been talking about that for weeks.
I know, right? I can't stand it.
Yeah, Lex canceled on the show to be with
Sanaa Lathan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't blame him.
I don't blame him at all. She is a cutie. So you got me looking at her now, man. I'm supposed to do the show. You got me looking at this young. Oh, sweet.
And she can hoop.
What I mentioned before the break that we're gonna talk about the Washington Redskins. We haven't addressed it. We didn't address it. You know, our last show. Stop doing that, Ray. I'm trying to do it.
And she's like 20.
I see, Ray. All right.
She's legal.
We haven't had an opportunity to address the Washington Redskins offseason. DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon are gone. They resigned with other teams. DeSean Jackson went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. DeSean Jackson went to the San Francisco 49ers. They did sign Terrell Pryor, who played for the Cleveland Browns last year. It was a 1,000-yard a thousand yard receiver in terms of receiving yards. For a 1 year deal, do you think that was a good deal? That was a good signing, knowing that you lost a Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor is emerging as a top receiver in the league. Look at the team he played on last year. He was the lone bright spot.
That is true. That's tough.
Just a bad team. And the thing was, you talk about swagger and confidence for an athlete. In the midst of it all, he would say, "I think we can win out." This was maybe when they were 0-8. I'm not exactly sure,
that's sad. I'm sorry.
He would say they could win out, and you know, he had that
fire, that passion.
I guess he had that swag, that confidence, and it was clear that they weren't going to win out. It was clear
easily.
It looked clear that they weren't going to win a game. I'm glad they did, but it was amazing. So to see him bring what he can bring, fifth, and he's fast too. He's like Randy Moss type speed.
He is.
Deceptively fast. He doesn't look it, but he is. And I think that's going to be huge for Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is excited about that. With Jordan Reed, you pair Jordan Reed with any decent receivers, and you're going to have a good offense. I'm excited to see what Terrell Pryor is going to do. And Terrell Pryor not only is he a vertical threat, but you know he can get that jump ball.
And yeah, and like you said, most important thing is that we're talking
the fade.
About
finally
there you go.
Mike
there you go.
Fade.
And you said it. Like obviously, you know they don't have McVay here to call the fade. I'm just saying after you didn't got Terrell Pryor, you don't have McVay here. But you give whoever the quarterback's going to be, if it's Kirk Cousins or whoever, you give him the opportunity to have a wide receiver whose radius isn't as hard to reach. You know what I mean? So you could throw the ball up and you're confident you have an opportunity now to catch those jump balls. So you don't have to throw a perfect pass or, you know, in terms of if it's too high or whatnot, you'll have to be as precise because you have a guy who can go up and get it. Terrell Pryor was a guy that, you know, played quarterback for most of his career as a football player. And now as a wide receiver, he's taken into position, has now become one of the young up-and-coming wide receivers. Not to say that he's going to be the next big thing, but he's become a young up-and-coming guy that has a boatload of potential. And you mentioned Randy Moss. We're talking about Terrell Pryor. People don't know. If you don't, he ran a 4-4 And it's an easy 4-4. The dude glides when he's running his routes, or he's gliding when he's going out for a fly. So you know that he's a dangerous weapon. And like Ray said, the most important thing is that, like, he was the basically in Cleveland because of Coleman went down. He was pretty much the only show in town at the wide receiver position on that team.
And
knowing
teams
that,
knew it, and he still performed with how many different quarterbacks?
Exactly. You had Kessler, RG3, and McCown.
There you go.
Yeah.
Enough said. I think he's a great acquisition. He's going to play hard. He's durable, which is something that DeSean Jackson didn't bring you. That's Garcon right. was just as tough, mm-hmm. so he brings that level of toughness. I like this signing.
No, I do. I like the signing. I'm with you on that. But just on the most important thing, we didn't mention this too, that, you know, it's his contract year. A 1-year deal means he's going to be motivated to try to get to land that big deal. So I do like the signing. I also like, if you can get the rookie, what's his face?
Who? Dotson?
Yeah, you might get him Dotson healthy. It'd be
he's not a rookie anymore, but I guess it's
you know what I mean?
He's a red shirt.
He's a red shirt.
Red shirt freshman because he was out. Yeah, I think, again, having two vertical threats like that in Terrell Pryor and Dotson is going to be great. But Dotson has to prove it, though. Right. I just hope it's not like Malcolm Kelly or Devin
Thomas. Yeah.
You know, so much hype around these rookie receivers never panned out.
What I like about Terrell Pryor is the matching him up with a Josh Dotson, two tall receivers. One guy's a route runner, the other guy's a deep threat. So it definitely was a good signing. But let's go to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, obviously, he's been franchised. You know, but a lot of talk is in town that, you know, he has the leverage. Do you believe that Kirk Cousins has that much leverage? And if you do think so, how much leverage does he have?
Based on what I'm seeing, he does have leverage for the simple fact that there are teams interested mm-hmm. who want him. And look at the numbers he's put up over the last two seasons. There is nothing left to prove. I think he needs to take a page out of a Drew Brees' playbook and get a little more bold and speak up in public. Now, I know he had the one interview where he said he wouldn't give a hometown discount, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But since then, there was the rumor that he wanted to be traded, which, according to sources, Daniel Snyder vetoed it, exited. And after that whole rumor or that whole story came out, what does Cousins do? He comes out and says, after he's franchised, oh, I'm glad to be back. And everything is, like, politically correct that he's saying. Mm-hmm. I think in order to get the leverage, even further leverage, he needs to speak up in public.
I would
put some pressure on the team.
Yeah,
because it seems like you had two good seasons with a reliable quarterback, not the greatest quarterback, but he's a reliable, evolving franchise quarterback. And now, are you reverting back to where you were? You just said early in the show you can't go backwards. That's what they seem like they're doing. You're going to fire Scott McLuhan and not give a viable reason or a legitimate reason for doing so. And now, you're not going to give this quarterback who's proved himself yet again a long-term deal? Come on, man.
On Facebook, my man Steve said Kirk Cousins has all the leverage.
Absolutely.
Also, he added, he said he can literally refuse to sign and walk when they can't franchise, whether it's cost or rules don't allow it. Tim, this is my thing. Kirk Cousins isn't a dumb guy. I think he's a very intelligent individual. And when we talk about leverage, it's where you want to go. Like, your leverage is where you want to go. If you want to be here, get your money or whatnot, and also you want to play well. And I think Kirk Cousins, when people talk about there's teams that want him, Kirk Cousins is smart enough to know which teams he wants to go to, which team he wants to play for. And the team that he wants to play for is the San Francisco 49ers. So in terms of your leverage, and I know I hear that term all the time, that – he wants to go to San Fran. People talking about he can wait it out and go and leave the Washington Redskins and go to San Fran next year. But the part that people are missing out within the term of his leverage is that San Francisco will be a what next year, if you predict it, right? They'll be a good team or a bad team?
They'll be an average team.
Well, give me a record.
7-9.
You think they'll be 7-9 next year with the talent that they don't have?
You think that's a high number?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose so many games. I'll put it like this, because they haven't. All right.
Because
so,
they have a decent defense in place. If you bring in an offensive guru, which we think Kyle Shanahan, he turns around every team's offense that he goes to, right? Right along. Houston, Atlanta, and Washington.
Yeah.
Now
you got to give him a quality quarterback.
In his first year, he had a difficult time with the Falcons. Although they started 5-0, if you remember.
Yeah.
So I expect that there'll be an improvement. And then you already have Navarro Bowman led defense.
Off a bad injury.
Don't matter.
But then you have no weapons offensively. At least Kyle had an offensive weapon. You have no weapons.
He's got Garcon, though. No.
Yes, Pierre Garcon. Yeah. I know. Here's Pierre Garcon. This is my thing. And even if that, next year has a stockpile of very good quarterbacks coming out. Very not good. Next year's quarterback draft.
Yeah. Are you going to take a quarterback?
I would take a quarterback. That's messed up. A younger quarterback. The dude from UCLA has a high grade.
Are you going to draft the quarterback?
If I'm San Fran?
No. Oh, you're talking about San Fran.
This is the leverage argument.
Oh, okay.
Because he wants to go to San Fran. This is the leverage argument. You have all these young, good quarterbacks. You're a bad team. Now, you're a bad team. San Fran's been a bad team for years.
They're going to get a quarterback.
They're going to get a quarterback over to getting a quarterback who's cheaper than Kirk Cousins because you're going to be on a rookie deal, have 4 years to play with because Kirk Cousins will be turning 30 next year. So it'll be a younger quarterback with upside with, like you just mentioned, Kyle Shanahan, who's a quarterback guru to work with him. There goes that team that he wants. He already pretty much, there's reports that said that Cleveland wanted him and he didn't want to go to Cleveland. So he is smart to know about their teams out there he doesn't want to go to. And there's some of these quarterbacks, and like I said, next year has a big quarterback draft. The kid from Louisville is coming out next year.
He's not going to go to San Francisco if they draft the quarterback.
Yeah,
because he doesn't want to be a mentor.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing, though. What I don't understand about the whole leverage thing is if anybody thinks the Redskins have leverage, they're crazy.
I said they have leverage.
You got Colt McCoy and Nate Sutfield behind them.
No, I get you.
Well, I mean, what do you have to work with? And this man has put up excellent numbers.
No, I'm with you. I'm just saying that with his leverage, it's not as strong as everybody makes
it. The Redskins better address the defense.
And then
Kirk Cousins will be fine, and Kirk Cousins will get a long-term deal, and the team will make the playoffs like they should have last season.
They will definitely should have made the playoffs last season. They didn't. Screwed all Redskins fans up. But anyway, last night the Golden State Warriors blew out the OKC Thunder 111-95. Curry and Westbrook got into it. Is this matchup the most entertaining matchup in the NBA? We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Lane. For ages, you dig, deuces.
The Commission, Uncle Paulie, P. Diddy, Cesar Leo, De Janeiro, Charlie Baltimore, Iceberg Slim, the most shady, Frankie Baby. We here. You know what beef is? Do you know ain't going nowhere. Ask yourself. Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me. The B.I.G. I put my key, you put your key in. Money will be seeing. We'll reach the flip of ceiling. Check it. My calico been cop. This rap Alfred Hitchcock drop top notch. Player hating gon' stop. This instant, rappers too persistent. Quick to spit, Biggie name on. Make my name taste like ass when you speak it. See me in the streets, your jewelry, you can keep it. That be our little secret, see me. Be that is, I that is, gee whiz. Sick of I'm feeling my big. I hope they know my new gutter for kidnap kids. I'm in they throw them over the bridge. That's how it is, my shit is laid out. That be that shit is played out. Y'all got the goal. All I make is one phone call. All y'all disappear by tomorrow. All your guns is borrowed. I don't feel sorrow. Actually, your man passed the gap to me. Now check this. What's beef? Beef is when you need two cats to go to sleep. Beef is when your moms ain't safe up in the streets. Beef is when I see you. Guaranteed to be in ICU. One more time. What's beef? Beef is when you make your enemies start your G. Beef is when you roll no less than 30 deep.
Your normal jump ball kind of fight for position situation. I was just trying to get in between Russ and how you pronounce his last name?
Samaje Christian.
Yeah, trying to get between them two, and felt them push me. Kind of let that first one go, and I kept going. There was another little push, and at that point, just wanted to kind of hold my position. And not much to do about nothing after that. So
ain't nothing going through my mind. Protect my teammates. That's what's going through my mind.
What was kind of your view of what caused it? Or
I don't know. I think Curry tried to get into it with Samaj, tried to push him, and I stepped right between. And that's it. Once I see some going down my teammates, I'm hopping in.
How different do you feel tonight compared to last time you guys came here? Did it feel different?
Yeah, less cupcake chance. That's about it.
Good. I like the shot he took. He's not a tough guy though.
Nah. He's not tough. Why he ain't tough? He's Steph, man. That's that dude. It's that war right now, man. Golden State lost to the. I'm sorry, it's not lost. Golden State beat up on the Thunder, 111-95. Blowout again, another blowout. Four blowouts.
Yep. What I don't understand is, you know, obviously the two teams are not evenly matched, but what the overwhelming majority is saying is Westbrook helped to ignite Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry did hit 7 threes, 7 from 12 from three, which is just a shade under 60%. But that's Steph's game, though. I don't think he needed Russell Westbrook to motivate him. And Russell Westbrook had a terrible game, I think 4 of 15 from the floor, but he finished with 15 points, which is only 8 points less than Steph, and he's a triple-double machine. But here's the thing. When it comes to these two guys who, you know, obviously there is underlying tension that goes right along with the KD bigger issue. And that is, you know, Russ is competing. He's playing at a high level this season. Curry is taking a step back. He's listening to what everybody's saying. Mm-hmm. Going into the game, it was no KD, so the focus is on these two guys.
Yeah.
And it's a hard argument to have who's better, because – Curry was the only show in town for a minute in Golden State. And, you know, he steadily got better, just like Russell Westbrook. They both had good players around them, you know, when KD, especially when he was there, obviously, and Ibaka. So it's tough to say who's better between these guys. But if you have an even supporting cast, who would you take?
I'm taking Steph. I just think I like the way Steph, you know, holds his team down. And you know, I'm biased, man. I've loved Steph's game since I've seen him in Davidson, so you already know I'm biased within that. But I just feel like the stats that you know, I put this way, everybody acts like I actually like OKC's roster. I think it's a decent roster, especially with the trades they made within the trade deadline. Like I think that having Gibson, having Oladipo, having McDermott, you have Cantor, you have players that you can win games with. I like Russell Westbrook. I think Russell Westbrook is the MVP, so let that be known. But at the same time, he takes bad shots.
So does Steph, though.
He does, but he can make those shots because Jay is better.
See, that's the thing. If you have Westbrook on his on night and Steph on his on night, most people are going to say, I want Steph.
Yeah.
Now, if you have Russell on a bad night and you have Steph on a bad night, I want Russ because
he can play
Russ is going to do everything else. Yeah, he's going to fill up every other stat.
Agreed.
But when Steph Curry, and this was at the forefront of the finals last year, when he could not make his jump shot, it was tough to watch him play. Yeah. And those sideways shots, those awkward shots that he takes, he wasn't making any of them, and it was hard to watch. Versus Russ is going to bring it every game. So it's tough to pick between these two guys. I still think Curry was going to be the MVP. Westbrook is going to be MVP.
I think to be MVP.
He's the most valuable to his team.
But to me, definitely.
Even though Harden is up in the discussion as well.
Yeah, but to me, it's must-see TV. I feel like it's the best-going matchup in the game, not because it's the competitive competition, because these two teams are even, because they're not even, like Ray said. But I just think it's the best matchup going because you see so much animosity. It's like Kevin Durant left his girlfriend and got a new girlfriend and stuff, and you can see those two, Steph and Westbrook, not feeling each other. But to be honest with you, they weren't even feeling each other that much last season, in my opinion, because Westbrook always had chip on the shoulder when he played Steph Curry. So I just like the matchup regardless, because I feel like when these two play each other, you can see it. Like Westbrook wants to be known as the best point guard in the West, the best point guard in basketball, to be honest with you. And when he goes against Steph, it's like basically measuring up. And right now, this season, Westbrook has been the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree. It's just head-to-head. Or, you know, if you're trying to build a team, who are you going to pick? And that's a lot of people are going to take Steph, obviously.
Yeah, you're right, though. Anyway, Triple G, over the weekend? Was he exposed? We're going to discuss that after the break. We're going to have my man Wood from Pay Me No Mind show to talk about the Triple G Jacobs fight. Like I said, which happened over the weekend. You listen to Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. My boy Ray G's and Wally. On the line, we have my homie Wood from Pay Me No Mind show. Wood, what's going on? Wood, what's going on? My dog, I actually put him on. I'm saying like he's on now. Wood, what's going on?
I'm good, man. Glad to be with you guys tonight.
We appreciate
good to have you, bro.
Yeah, we appreciate you. First, tell the folks about your show.
The Pay Me No Mind show been running about 2 years now. It's really, it's just a podcast. I say sports and entertainment, but it's really entertainment and sports. You know, I break down a lot of different TV series. I got a guy that comes on and we discuss new movies and stuff. I do some music reviews and whatnot. I try to incorporate a lot of music into the show in general. And then lately, being that I'm up the road from Cincinnati, Ohio, I stumbled across a hotbed of just being close to boxing. And boxing is probably my second, third favorite sport. So the site where I write, goingfor2.com, it was kind of an easy decision to just focus on covering boxing over there with everybody else on the website, primarily focusing on daily fantasy sports.
Sweet, sweet. So obviously there was a big fight over the weekend. You had Triple G versus Jacobs. What was your thought of the fight?
First of all, I just want to say I was so taken aback on the decision from the fight that preceded it with Rung Vasai getting a victory over Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, the current number one pound-for-pound guy in the world, taking over after Floyd exited the game. When I looked at the level of competition in that one versus what I saw with between Jacobs and Triple G, it was kind of a letdown for me. But I had Golovkin. I think that Danny Jacobs didn't convincingly win the fight for me. So by default, I kind of gave the fight to Triple G.
All right. So did that knockout play a part in your thought process?
Knockdown.
Not knockdown. Sorry, yeah. Knockdown.
Yeah, I think the knockdown, and I think in all close fights with the champion involved, I think if you have a knockdown in the fight and it's very close, I think that knockdown is going to be what's going to shift things in the person in the fighter that got the knockdown. So I'm not in an uproar that Triple G got the decision over Jacobs.
Yeah, but
I can't give you.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me ask you this, though. Is it because of who Jacobs is? Because Andre Ward was just knocked down by Kovalov, but Andre Ward won. And Andre Ward won the champion coming in. But he has that, that reputation already coming into the fight versus Jacobs is up and coming. You think that factored into the judge's decision?
It might have, but I think that's kind of what my problem is. I think going into that 10th, 11th, and 12th, the championship rounds, I think you had to put forth that champion effort and go for it. And I felt like Jacobs, yeah, he was doing some of the machismo stuff with banging his hands, at his waist and urging him to come on and let's rumble. And he was shoving, he was imposing his size on Triple G in the last two rounds. But that's not putting your hands on the guy. And I felt like he fully recovered in the fight and he believed that he could take Triple G's power. But you got to do something with that.
Okay. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. My boy Ray G's and myself, Wally. Right now, we have Wood from Pay No Mind Show. Pay Me No Mind Show, excuse me. Wood, so my thing, so you weren't impressed with Jacob's body work. I thought, you know, he did a great job going to the body, taking some of the power away from Triple G.
I think in the middle rounds, I think that was happening. For me, I just think in the 11th and 12th round, I felt like he failed to capitalize on the investment that he made to the body.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like Triple G's jab came out in the last two rounds.
I agree
that him switching between conventional and southpaw, that he had Triple G searching for how to attack him and everything. But let's go back to the making of this fight, though. Danny Jacobs knew going into the fight that the big money fight was coming in the future for Triple G and Canelo Alvarez. You knew that fight was out there.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And then you get the knockdown against you in the fourth round. You can't leave anything to the judges at that point. You got to go all out and make it happen.
That's true.
Very true.
I totally agree. And I also think that him after the fight, Daniel Jacobs saying that he did not respect Triple G's power. So why didn't you go harder, as you're saying? if his power didn't bother you or scare you, I think he knew that Triple G had power. Come on now. And he definitely respected that, because if he didn't, he would have went at him.
I think he was surprised that it was that he could stand up to him. But I wasn't, and that's another thing. I didn't go into this fight. I'm really more of a neutral observer in a lot of fights that I watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, HBO can't really sell me that Triple G was invincible.
Mm-hmm.
Mayweather can't really sell me that he's the best of all time. I watch what's happening and I make up my own mind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I felt like Danny Jacobs really had to convince himself that he didn't have chin issues. And I think he, like I said, I thought through the sixth, seventh and eighth, I thought he got over Triple G's mm-hmm. power. And now it's time to really go to work.
That's true. So from watching this fight, do you think Triple G was exposed? Because, you know, he struggled against Kell Brook. You know, he didn't mess up his eye socket. And then you got this fight here as well. You know, that mystique of Triple G being invincible is kind of like,
it's fading.
I think it's changing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be honest with you, and I got into it with the trainer a couple of weeks ago that really disagreed with me. I think these guys get paid. They make a living by getting punched in the face and punched in the body. And I feel like that some of these guys subject themselves to – they take your best stuff to give you their best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't see Triple G really take Danny Jacobs' best power in this fight. He was cautious, but I feel like he invites some of that to do what he's trying to do. He just didn't go full scale with it in this fight. So there's a little doubt, but I think I can't knock Triple G for trying to preserve that golden fight, that mega fight with Canelo.
Absolutely.
So would you say, would you want to see a Jacobs rematch with Triple G or something else?
I feel like he might be, I feel like his performance might warrant a rematch, but I feel like I'm not that sorry for you that you didn't capitalize the moment that night. We saw what he did to Quillen, right?
I missed that one. I'm not going to lie. I missed that fight.
He jumped on Quillen, and he was a big underdog going into the fight against Quillen. He knocked out Quillen in the first round.
Mm.
So we know that he has some dog in him. So I struggled with the fact that he didn't bring out that dog and really put hands on a man who came into the ring being as touted as he is. I mean, I think you got to move out of the way, man, because I think the boxing world really wants to see Canelo and Triple G.
Oh, definitely wants to see that. So, again, how can people listen to your show and find you on social media?
To try to put it quickly, if you go to iTunes and check out and search for Talk Loud Radio, all one word, that's Talk Loud Radio, it's three of us on the network. Uh-huh. And I'm obviously the Pay Me No Mind show, but check it out. You know, Clash of the Nerds is another show that's on there. And then the third show is Press Coverage, who's also a guy from you guys' neck of the woods in the Virginia, the DMV area.
My man.
But like, you can check us out that way. And then also on Podbean.com is you can also find Talk Loud Radio on there. And then, like I said, everything kind of runs out of goingfor2.com. The podcasts are all available there. I put most of my podcasts into articles to give you a synopsis of what you're getting ready to listen to. I try to timestamp everything for you if you don't want to hear. You guys are lucky or fortunate. You have a team on here, and you guys can chop it up amongst yourselves. I just don't think it's good radio for me to sit here and talk for 25 minutes. I'm not Stephen A. I'm not Bomani. And so I know you don't want to really hear me. So I try to keep my shows packed with guests. You know, I get clips. I've had Adrian Broner on there. I've had Adrian Granados on there. A couple of other fighters. You know, you never know who I have on there.
Well, man, look.
Oh, and then
what? Go ahead.
Social media is just at PMNM Haven is the easiest place to find that.
Sweet, man. My man Wood doing big work, man. Real people do real things. My man Wood stays in the business and boxing, stays in the world of sports, man. I have always had great conversations with my man on Twitter, so we're going to keep that going. We appreciate you, my man. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being a guest.
Hey, thanks for the time tonight, fellas.
No
keep
problem.
It up.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Anyway, man, again, that was my man Wood, host from Pay Me No Mind podcast show. So make sure you tune in and listen to his podcast. All right, Ray Jeezy, man. It was another great show, another banger.
Absolutely. I hope next week my man Will T can make it.
So we can have the official three-man weave, man.
Yes.
Anyway, man, thank you all for listening. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces, mega, lead us out, big homie.
Swag.